This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, I am starting today a new series of classes on raising a Muslim child. These are supported by my book with the same title. And I think it's a very, very important aspect of life that we need to think about very seriously and which we need to constantly remind ourselves. Now you might say, what is so special about raising a Muslim child? I mean, you know, what's so special about Muslim? This is related directly to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about why He created us and why He selected us, where He said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah." The ayat of Suratul Al Imran 110, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "You are the best of people selected for the benefit of mankind, and you enjoin good and you forbid evil, and you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly defined a purpose of our creation. We were not just created, you know, like mammals or other mammals, because we are also mammals, just to live and die. We were created to do something. We were created to create. We were created in order that we can create goodness all around ourselves for the benefit of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best person is the one who is the most beneficial to the people." Right? So this whole issue of being beneficial to people, I think, is a very important aspect of the creation of the Muslims. And Allah said, "We have selected you for this purpose." And that's the reason why this whole concept of responsibility with regard to our future is something that needs to be ingrained right from the earliest childhood, which means that parenting is not just signing bills, it's not just throwing money and toys at your kids and gadgets. It is a very, very serious responsibility. And that's why I remind myself and you, and my submission to you all, especially those who are getting married, especially those who have been married recently, is very seriously think about this responsibility of yours. Because the purpose of marriage is, of course, twofold, as we mentioned earlier. One is companionship, other one is children. And if you got married, then it's something that you are looking forward to have children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you beautiful children who are salim, who are whole and complete in every single way, children who are physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually perfect, who are healthy, children who are going to be and should be and will be, inshallah, something that you can be proud about, and something which and people who will be a means of sadaqatul jariyah for us, for you, people who will result in you benefiting from their good deeds. They will be an ongoing charity for you long after you're gone. People who will carry forward your legacy, people who will be your contribution to the world, and the world will be thankful to you for having raised children like that. Alhamdulillah, these are all my du'as for you. May Allah accept these du'as with khair and afiyah, inshallah, for you. But remember, the du'a alone by itself will not fly. It has to be supported by effort on your part, and that is what we are talking about in this series of classes, inshallah, which is how to raise a Muslim child. So as I explained to you, because this Muslim child is going to be responsible for certain things in life, he or she must be trained for that. To give you an example, unfortunately these examples are very rare nowadays because we don't have monarchies and we don't have nobility, but in the days of yore, when we had monarchies and we had nobility, the children of nobles, the children of kings, were raised differently from ordinary people, because their role in life was already defined. So if you were a a son or a daughter of a king, then your role in life was defined. You had to grow up and be in that position of your father or mother, which is to rule a country, rule a nation. Same thing for nobility. You grew up and you would take charge of those lands and those that responsibility. And so you were raised differently from ordinary people because your role was already defined, right? Now, I'm not giving you the example of royalty and nobility for just for the sake of it, but because this has a direct reference and a direct relevance to what we are talking about here, which is the way in which Muslim children should be raised. They should be raised differently from any other children, from the children of any other people, because their role is different. Their role has been defined by none other than Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Himself. Now let's see what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned with respect to children. In Surah Ash-Shura, the two ayats 49 and 50, and I'm saying this specifically, I want you to think about this and reflect, especially those of you who are very anxious to have children. You would love to have children, you are praying for that, you are trying for that, you are doing all sorts of things for that, and you are, you know, because you do not have children, you are very upset about this whole thing. But think about this and say, what is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala saying? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Lillahi mulku samawati wal ardi, yakhluqu ma yasha, yahabu liman yasha'u inatha, wa yahabu liman yasha'u dhukur, aw yuzawwijuhum dhukranan wa inatha, wa yaj'alu man yasha'u aqima, innahu alimun qadir. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, which means in these two ayat, to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He creates whatever He wills. He bestows girls, female offspring upon whom He wills. And He bestows boys, male offspring upon whom He wills. Or He bestows both males and females, and He renders barren whom He wills. Verily, He is the All-Knower and is able to do all things. So the first and foremost thing to remember and understand is that both girls and boys are from the things that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala chooses to bestow on people. Right? There is nothing superior about one, there is nothing inferior about the other. Both are minallahi ta'ala. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says very clearly that Allah creates whatever He wants. Allah will give male children, boys, to who He wants. Allah will give female children, girls, to who He wants. And to some people Allah gives both boys and girls, and to some people Allah gives neither. So all the things, all these four conditions, whether you have a son, whether you have a daughter, whether you have sons and daughters, or whether you have nothing, all of these four situations are from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So the first and foremost thing to understand about this is that what is our attitude to what we get from Allah? We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So if I have a son, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I have a daughter, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I have sons and daughters, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Or like in my case, I have neither sons nor daughters, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Everything is from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and we thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in all situations. We don't complain, we don't groan and moan. We can, of course, if you want to have children so badly, you can keep on making dua, inshallah. If there is khair in this, if there is barakah in this, if there is blessing for you in this, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give them to you. But always remember to have a grateful heart and a grateful tongue, and never to complain. Then let us see what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said with regard to children, your spouses and your children. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in Surah At-Taghabun, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu inna, this is the inna, which is verily and truly, which is Allah is placing an emphasis on what comes thereafter, after inna. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa auladukum aduwwal lakum fahdharuhum wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru fa innallaha ghafurur rahim. Allah says, O you who believe, verily among your spouses and your children there are enemies for you. Aduwwal lakum, enemies for you. That is, they would probably stop you from obeying Allah or invite you or force you to disobey Allah. Therefore, beware of them. فَحَذَرُوهُمْ, beware of them. But if you pardon them and overlook and forgive their faults, then verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. In the next ayah, again Surah Taghabun, this is Surah Taghabun, ayah 14 and 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah said, verily your wealth and your children are a fitna, they are a trial, they are a test for you, whereas Allah with him is a great reward, which is Jannah. We ask Allah ta'ala for Jannah. And then another ayat in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَمُوا, Allah said, no. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Verily, your possessions, your wealth, and your children are a test for you. They are a trial for you. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And surely with Allah is a mighty reward. Now, as I mentioned to you, two things. One is we are talking about the issue of children. And we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned for us the Quranic references with regard to children, whether we have, you know, boys or girls, or we have both or we have nothing. All of these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to give us this with khair and barakah. All of them are things that we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, right? Now you might say, well, how is it a blessing? Well, this is a blessing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us whatever Allah gives us is a blessing. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so having children is a blessing, not having children also is a blessing. Now, with regard to children, as I mentioned to you, three ayats, one in Surah Al-Anfal, two in Surah Taghabun, all of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your children, in one case Allah said your spouses and children, in another case Allah said your wealth and children, these are tests for you. In this ayat of ayah number 14 of Surah Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your spouses and your children, among your spouses and your children, there are some who are your enemies. Now, my brothers and sisters, think about this. Alhamdulillah, as I mentioned to you, I gave you a nice dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give you children and spouses, of course, who will be a source of great mercy and alhamdulillah, a source of pleasure for you, joy for you, and a source of great goodness for you. But a tendency that seems to be in a lot of people is to, and this is cultural, this is un-Islamically cultural, which is that people who have children are considered, within quotes, blessed. I have been blessed with a child, so-and-so has been blessed with children. And those who do not have children are considered to be cursed. They are supposed to be, they are considered to be bad luck. These are people, something is wrong with them, and so on and so forth, right? Now, first of all, get this clean out of your head. In Islam, children, having children or not having children is not a sign of being blessed or being cursed. Right, or the opposite of being blessed. First, understand this very clearly. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not call children his blessing. Allah called children a test. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not call wealth a blessing, Allah called wealth a test. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a curse. No, it's not. Neither wealth nor children. But it's a test. So what does it mean? It means that my wealth will be a blessing depending on what I do with it. how I earn it and where I spend it. If I earn my wealth in a haram way and I earn and I spend my wealth for haram things, for things that Allah has prohibited, then my wealth becomes a curse on me. It's not a blessing. Right? If I build a house with haram income and I write haram in fadli rabbi, it does not make this house a blessing for me because my house has been built with haram wealth. Just because I said this is a fadl of Allah, this is a blessing of Allah, it doesn't make it a blessing. Because it becomes a blessing provided it is halal. Similarly with children, somebody says, oh, mashallah, 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 I have been blessed with children. No, you have been tested with children. You have not been blessed with children. Whether those children become a blessing for you or not depends on what you do with those children. If you raise those children as good practicing Muslims, as muttaqeen, if those children have a truthful tongue in their mouths, if those children have a loving heart, if those children are compassionate, if they are courageous, if they stand for the truth and they stand against falsehood, if they spend their lives serving the communities and serving people and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu without joining partners with him and so on and so forth, inshallah, definitely those children are a blessing for you. But if it is the opposite, if thanks to your raising, if those children turn out to be people who are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they are indulging in haram, if they are doing things which are destructive to society, if they are harming people, then those children are a curse upon you and you will be held accountable because you are responsible for how you raise them. Now in some cases, and may Allah protect us from this, I know cases like this where the parents raise those children well, alhamdulillah. Later on, after those children attained maturity, they went off to colleges and universities out somewhere else, or they got involved in society with the wrong kind of people and they went astray, inshallah, there is no blame on the parents for that. Because the parents did their job and they did their job to the best of their ability. Inshallah, Mustafa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish the parents for doing that. But if the parents raise their children without knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If they raise their children without knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they raise their children without knowing Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if they raise their children with the wrong values, that the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not important, the salah is not important, reading Quran is not important, fasting is not important, observing and being truthful to yourself with regard to haram and halal, not important. If you did not inculcate these values in them, my brothers and sisters, please understand, those children are not a blessing for you. Those children will be the reason why you will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that punishment. So please be very, very clear in your mind about this. It is extremely important. We live and fall, we live and die, we rise and fall, we succeed or fail based on what we do with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with. Now, brothers and sisters, it is very, very important for us to understand this. Now, one of the things I want to share with you is that we have, in all the years that I've spoken to parents all over the world, I often ask them one question. And I say to them, please think of your most powerful role model. Right? I tell them, just think about it. Think of your most powerful role model. And I tell them, don't say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm talking about somebody who in your own life, someone living or someone who passed away, but someone you knew personally. Right? So don't think about, don't say Abraham Lincoln or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please think of your most powerful role model. And then ask them a second question, and that question is, for how many of you is that a parent? Your most powerful role model, for how many of you is that a parent? I have never had, irrespective of culture, irrespective of religion, irrespective of nationality, irrespective of race, irrespective of location, I've never had more than 5% of the population put up their hands to say that their most powerful role model was either their mother or their father, right? Any either of the parents. That means for 95% of people, the role model, their parents, the two people who invested the most in their upbringing are not their role models. Right? It's a real tragedy. I mean, it's a self-inflicted tragedy. It's a real tragedy. And then I ask a third question. And that's the double whammy. That's the hammer on the head. My third question is, if your children were sitting here instead of you, and I asked them this question, would they be thinking of you and would they put up their hands? So, first question, who is the most powerful role model? Second question, is that a parent? Third question, instead of you, if I were asking this question to your children, would they be thinking of you and would they raise their hand and say, my father or my mother is my most powerful role model? Would they say that? Right? Now, maybe you can go and ask them. I don't know if they'll tell you the truth, but that's an option. The tragedy is that the parents, neither the mother nor the father, are not the role models. The role model is, it's somebody else. Right? Somebody else. Now, who is that somebody else? I was talking to a group of young people, and these were all youth, all adults, in a masjid, and this was a completely Muslim group, men and women. There were about 60 of them or something like that. And I asked them, I said, name for me three role models, three of your role models. Guess who they named? Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates. My question to you is, I'm not analyzing now Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and whoever. I'm asking you a very simple question, which is, do you know who are the role models of your children? And if you think that's not important, please go think again. A role model is somebody who your children look up to. Your role model is somebody your children are following. They know all about that role model. A role model is somebody your children want to be like. Who is that? I'm not talking about a Sunday school answer, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. In reality. How does it happen? How does it happen that Muslim youth sitting in a masjid, when I ask them this question, when I say, I look at me, I mean somebody who looks like me, they know me, and they know me from the Islamic angle, and I ask them a question, and they give me these three names. What does it tell you about their focus? What does it tell you about their priorities? I'm not saying they're evil people. They're not evil people. They're ordinary human beings. But if your child is a Muslim and you are a Muslim, it's not enough to be an ordinary human being. You have to be an extraordinary human being, and that will happen only if you have the right focus. What is that right focus? How will you get that right focus? That is my question. My brother and sister, the parenting is a serious job. And one which must be undertaken consciously, clearly understanding what it entails. Children have a right to have good parents who can be role models for them and who can not only teach them the tools to succeed in life, but also teach them how to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and succeed in the life of the akhirah. This is the role of parents. Children have a right to that. Your children have a right to that. Please remember that whether you like it or not, you are a role model for your children. It doesn't matter. Whether you like it or not, you are a role model. Your choice is to decide what kind of role model you want to be. One that they can look up to, or one that one day they will look down on. Children listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So what are they seeing? What are they seeing? Anyone who has children knows that there's no such thing as your private life. Whatever you do is under the spotlight, will be noticed, will be learned, and will be emulated. If there is any gap between the talk and walk of the parents, your credibility will fall through that gap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you as a guide for your children. And the enormity of the responsibility is the reason for the honorable status that Islam gives to parents. Parents who behave dishonorably before their children are the worst of humanity. They are abysmal, abominable, and disgusting. Let me give you just one example. I want you to think of your own examples, but just one example. How many people, how many of you do your child's homework for them? I've seen many cases. Usually it's the mothers. The child comes with the homework, the mother sits and does the homework for the child. Child has a project, mother will come and mother will sit down and do the project. I have seen cases where the child is playing around somewhere else. Or the child has his or her face in their smartphone. The mother is doing the project. Now, this is two evils in this. First evil is that the parent is doing the work of the child. The child was supposed to learn, but instead of the child learning now, you are doing the work for the child, so the child doesn't learn. The second problem, which is the bigger problem, is the next morning when this work is submitted in the school, what does the child say? Does your child say to the teacher, "Teacher, here's my work, but actually my mom did this work, I did not do this work." Right? Here's my project, and my mom did this work, I did not do this work. I have seen people. Actually, mother sitting and cutting things and so on, fixing whatnot, building. I'm building a plane, I'm building this for my child. Oh, this is fantastic. Why are you doing that? Oh, because this is a child's project in school. This is a child's project in school. It's not your project. Why are you building that thing? And as I said, the bigger problem is, next morning when that child goes and submits this in the class to their teacher, what do they say? They say, "This is my project. Who did this work? I did this work." You know the child is lying. The child knows the child is lying. The teacher also knows the child is lying. I don't know of any teacher who is so stupid as to believe that the child did the project when the mother did the project. The teachers will see that. I've been a teacher 36 years. You can't fool me in things like this. And I think that all the other teachers are at least as smart as I am. So what are you doing? You're colluding. The parents and the teachers are colluding in teaching the real value to the child, which is that lying is okay. Lying is okay. Tell me, is this what you want to teach them? Is this the kind of role model that you are? And if you are, what do you want to do about that? I give you only one example. Another example. Child doesn't want to go to school. You call in and say, "My child is not feeling well today." Child hears that, you hear that. I know cases where people actually give false medical certificates to the children, teaching them to tell lies. Is this the role of parenting? Is this happening? Am I exaggerating? Please, my brothers and sisters, sit down, reflect and think about this and say, what am I doing in the name of parenting? What kind of role model am I presenting to my children? And of course, by extension, how do you speak, especially when you're angry? Do you use profanity? What kind of things do you watch on television? How do you, the father, treat your wife, the mother? How does you, the mother, treat the father? Do you laugh at each other in front of other people? Are you concerned? Do you show concern and respect for each other? What kind of books do you read? What kind of books do you give to the children to read? Are you particular about Salah? Do you go to the masjid for Salah? For Salatul Fajr especially, do you wake up your children and say, come for Salah? Do you take them with you to the masjid? Or do you say, no, but you know, he was studying very hard last night and he slept late, so let him sleep. Now he will pray Qadha later. We want to invent a new religion, convenient to ourselves. What do you do? As I told you, I'm not making an exhaustive list of all the stuff that we do in the name of raising children, but please do that for yourself. Do yourself a favor. Do that. Make a list of things that you are doing and ask yourself, is it right? Is it wrong? You don't need a Mufti and Mufti-e-Azam to give you fatwas for this. You know what is right. You know what is wrong. Ask yourself. So, I want to begin this whole class with re-emphasizing two important things. One is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you have in your life, children or children. Shukr to Allah. Being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is to understand that your children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't get offended with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them a fitna. Allah said these are a test. He didn't say they are a blessing. He said they are a test. Whether to convert the test into a blessing or not is in your hands. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to wake us up to our responsibility of being parents and to raise children who we can be proud of and who will be a blessing for society, for the whole world. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.